The title of this sermon this day is not my title. A friend of mine had this title and always said to this particular thing, he didn't preach this sermon, but he titled it this. It says, Outdoing Jesus. To me, this title seems a little bit wrong somehow. How could we ever think to be anything better and to do anything better than Jesus? But you see, that's the way today's passage from Mark's Gospel goes. The lectionary today connects one story where Jesus can't do much of anything to another story where the disciples shine. They outshine Him. They do good. It's something of a narrative fluke. It's a snapshot that doesn't lie, but that might, if taken by itself, leads us to false deductions or to a false conclusion. In other words, it's something we need to kind of look at. It's something like a picture taken of me in high school playing softball. I'm up at the plate, bat in hand, swinging, and the caption under the picture states, Ivy hits a home run, bringing the Cougars one step closer to the championship. Now, when that picture came out in our local paper, the Sampson Independent, long time ago, I said, that's the wrong picture. In that particular time when I hit the ball, the left fielder caught that one and I was out. I didn't help my team get any closer in that particular one. You see, that picture and that caption were lies. I knew it. Most of my team members knew it. But for some reason, the wrong picture got put. You see, we lost that game that day, but we did win the next three to finish first in the conference. You see, many times in life, the present situation that we find ourselves in is no predictor of the future. First thing today is Jesus can't do much. That's amazing to me in the Bible, that we can find a place in Mark's Gospel where Jesus can't do a whole lot. In the first story, Jesus goes to His hometown where He teaches in the synagogue. We've heard this story from other Gospels. Folks who have known Him His whole life, who know His mother, who know His siblings by name, are astounded by what they hear and see. They don't like it. They don't believe Him. They know who He is. They grew up with Him. They played ball with Him. They played in the streets. They might have skipped rocks. I don't know what they've done. He knew these people. To them, they can't connect the dots. Nobody around here taught Him to say those things. Where is He getting all this mess from? Where did this come from? Mark describes their reaction as amazement and astonishment. They're just sitting there baffled. They're like... In verse 2, he says that, which can be good or bad, it mostly just means that they were confused. Because at the end of verse 3, however, Mark writes something a little different. They were scandalized by Him. Meaning that somehow Jesus tripped them up with His words and actions. Some surprises are threatening, and this one where the local boy has returned out to them so differently from the way they expected. It shakes them up a little bit. As a consequence, says Mark, Jesus was unable to do a single miracle, except for just a few things. He did heal a few sick people. He laid His hands on them and they were healed. But Jesus Himself was amazed. Why? Because of their unbelief. The people didn't even believe. They didn't believe nothing was happening. I don't believe Him. First, He stumped them with His ability to teach and do miracles, and then they stumped Him by being unable to process what they saw. They couldn't believe what they were hearing and seeing. Have you ever been somewhere where you didn't believe? Have you ever seen people change and you can't quite accept it? You see, neither reaction is all that astounding. I don't think. You see, parents have to learn new ways of interacting with their adult children when they grow up. And adult children have to many times learn new ways to interact with their parents. Friends that you haven't seen since high school still want to think of you as that whatever it was, if you were a star athlete, if you were a bookworm, if you were the one that hung out with the wild kids, if you were one of the wild kids, if you were very dramatic, if you were one of those crazy people, etc., etc. The story can go on and on and on as the list. But see, for your part, you want them to love and admire what you've become, because it's been 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever down the road. You want them to remember you for something else. And it's actually something that they don't even know. It's a part of who you have become, forgetting that it will take time for them to learn the new you because they haven't seen you. Now, people that see you every day, that's grown up with you, that have known you since day one, it's different. They say, oh yeah, I know who they are. But when you've been away and you come back, or when you come back to a reunion and you haven't seen anyone, it's kind of what Jesus is doing here. He's been away. He's doing ministry all over, and he comes back to his hometown, and all of a sudden, who does he think he is? That's not the Jesus. Where did he learn this theology that he's talking about? Where did he learn these words, these missions? What's going on? You see, we have a hard time learning a new way in our life, learning a new person. Here's why it's often simpler to move on, joining a new community and presenting a new image of yourself, than to stay in the old one and work through all the amazement. You see, and here's why in communities of faith, it's important to take the time to do that work. Suppose Jesus' former neighbors had said, well, he's changed, hasn't he? I guess that's only natural. Jesus, I don't think I got it the first time through. Can you help me understand? Can you say that again? Wouldn't that have been wonderful? Aren't we like this when we sometimes see someone that we haven't seen in a long time or heard from? Hey, here they are telling us all about God and how He's changed their life. And we just look at them in question and we mumble to our neighbors and to ourselves and to our friends. We're like, what's going on? I knew them when, and I'm not going to let them forget it. That's kind of how it is here. It's kind of troubling, isn't it? The second thing today that's a bit more troubling is the 12 can do much. That's amazing in itself. But Jesus and his neighbors and friends are still at odds with one another. And so Jesus has an off day. He's had a bad day. Nothing's working right for him. Healing only a few very sick people over here. The disciples are there also that day, and they are witnesses to their leader and teacher's experiences that day. Wonder what they're thinking. Wonder what they're feeling when they see the people not responding, when they see the people not believing, when they see the people mumbling and grumbling amongst themselves. You see, things aren't going that well that day for their master. But then Jesus does something. He sends them out. And they have amazing successes. He says, go. And he sends them out two by two. He won't let them take protection or food supplies or money or even extra clothes. They're on the high wire act without a safety net, so to speak. But they go out in pairs and Jesus gives them his authority. And when he gives them his authority, they have the power. He tells them that some people will accept them and others are going to reject them. Kind of like in the world we live in today. Kind of like the world we all live in, isn't it, every day. It's from the beginning of time. Some's going to listen. Some's going to accept. And a whole lot of people are going to reject. Don't worry about it, he says to them. If they take you in, stay and be grateful. If they close their ears, move on. Mark describes how they made out. He says they preached that folks should repent and cast out many demons that day. And they anointed many sick people with oil and they healed them. Many. This is surprising from two angles. First, Mark's 12 are only rarely used as examples of the right way to follow Jesus. Many times, Mark's gospel is not the gospel that is used. Matthew, Luke, and John are used all the time of all the good things that the disciples were doing and how well, but Mark kind of tells it like it is. He just puts it out there. He gets the facts, and that's it. And he doesn't give them a whole lot of good because they have no faith, he tells us in 5:40. They are stubbornly unable to understand Jesus in chapter 6, verses 51 and 52. On another occasion, 9 of them together can't expel one demon in chapter 9, verse 18. Second, coming on the heels of an instance where Jesus can only heal just a few people, they can heal many. What's going on today in this story? The third thing today, lessons from Jesus' bad day. We're not surprised when Jesus heals because He's the Son of God. We're not surprised when He can't. We are more surprised, though, when He can't. And we tend to look for an explanation, as in the story, in other people's failures. It wasn't Jesus' fault that He had a bad day. Nobody in Nazareth believed in Him, and so His ministry faltered. No, it failed. He did heal a few, they said. Not completely failed. He did heal a few people. Don't forget that. But it wasn't the responding and resounding success that our Lord wanted that day, that He enjoyed on other days before. He had been traveling around and wonderful things were happening. But here in His hometown, you and I should think about that. Think about that and listen to know that whenever we get rejected and kicked, that we need to stand back up and be faithful. You see, if other people's lack of faith can stump Jesus, then what may we expect for ourselves from a hateful world that we live in? Sometimes you follow God's lead, you speak God's word, you walk where your Lord leads, and nothing happens. You feel like, what in the world am I doing? Why am I even trying? People don't even listen. People don't even care. They don't even show up. You can have a meeting and two people show up. What's going on? Mark lets us see that even Jesus has days like that. He had a bad day. Don't let it get you down. It's God's saving word and God's power to heal. And there are other folks who need to hear it. And maybe something more than nothing happened that day. Have you ever thought about that? We always say whether two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. You know, He's there. No matter where we're gathered, the Lord's there. Even if we're by ourselves, He's there. How can you know what God will do later with your faithful witness? When you're faithful and steadfast and true in what you do, when you come and no one else shows up, when you come and two or three of you have a meeting, when you come and 8 or 10 of you have supper together, when you come and 35 or 40 are in a sanctuary, when you come and there should be hundreds, you know what? God takes the little and can do a lot. God takes your faithful witness and does a great deal with it. You see, sometimes when we think nothing happened, sometimes when we think, I don't know why in the world I even try. I know sometimes I heard it this past week or the past few weeks at choir practice because it's the summertime. Past 2 Sundays, past 3 Sundays have been kind of low. We've had, I think our high today is 55, last Sunday was 57, I think the Sunday before that was 62. It's summertime. People are gone. The crew that was here last week are not here this week. They're gone, and that one's back. And then there's always a few in the midst that don't quite make it back from time to time. So whatever it is, there's something that's still happening. People that are still faithful. Even those that are away for a little while are still faithful. They're still listening. They're still caring. They're still doing. Even those sometimes who forget about things are still faithful. But sometimes when we say nothing happened, sometimes when all that happens, what we're doing is we're feeling sorry for ourselves and not serving. We're feeling sorry for who we are and what God, we think God has failed us. But He hasn't. The fourth thing today is lessons from the disciples' great day. Think about the great day that the disciples had. We're amazed, and we're supposed to be. We're amazed when the 12 heal. They are not the Son of God. So we don't assume that they have any special powers. The rest of us don't. They aren't even all that good at following Jesus. They're kind of like we are. One of them will hand Jesus over to the authorities. One will deny Jesus 3 times. All of them will abandon Him after promising that not even death would separate them. What happened after the crucifixion? What happened to them? They took off and run. But even though we know that this snapshot doesn't accurately predict that they will always follow Jesus well, for these moments, however brief they might be in our life, they do. They even have some success healing more than Jesus did that day. You see, Mark gave us his portrait of stumbling apostles, in part so that we'd know that Jesus is a merciful Lord. He calls us, and even if we don't think we're good enough or brave enough, we follow. And He never fires us to recruit more able assistants. You know, once you're in, He's never going to let you out. You can't get fired. You can fire yourself. You can kick yourself out. You can stay at home. You can run away to another church. You can run away to another something else. You can stay at home and pout. You can go talk about everything. But you know, the Lord will never fire you. The Lord will never tell you to go away. He's not going to get somebody else in your place. He's not going to hire somebody else that's more capable. You're always going to be one of His children. You're always going to be one of His. You see, Mark, in his gospel today, gives us plenty of pictures of the 12 stumbling, so that when we do, we will know it is at the end of our relationship with our Master. It's not the end. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to get kicked down. We're going to get knocked down. But you know what? Mark's 12 don't always fail. They don't always fail. They do leave everything, though, to follow Jesus. And on some days, by relying on the authority that He gave them and following His rules, they overcome the demons and they heal the sick. Some days, God allows us to be a part of something miraculous. Some days He allows us to be a part of what I call holy moments. He allows us to be in places when the miraculous happens. He allows us to take part in His healing mercies. He allows us to take part in ministry, in service, in giving, in doing, in being. He allows us, and it can be any time. It can be when you get up and see the most beautiful sunrise you've ever saw. When you see the most beautiful sunset, and we have had some spectacular ones lately. I was at the beach a few weeks myself ago, and it's amazing sometimes how gorgeous things are when you look out over the water. If you're ever in the mountains and look out and just see, He allows us those times, and if we can't look out and see that and not know that someone else is in charge, thank God somebody else is in charge. Because in the midst of all this that's happening, we see good, we see beauty, we see wonder. We see it in a child's laugh. I know that Ashley took the boys out this morning, but I saw that one of that little one this week. Guess what he did? He started crawling. And I saw him just cackling. He's learning, he's growing. You can see it in the laughter in a child. You can see it in just little things. You can see it when somebody says, "I love you," when you hear it. You see it all around us. We hear it. We have it every day. We have miracles. We have holy moments. You know, it kind of gives us a little bit of hope and reassurance to say, hey, if Jesus had a bad day, I don't feel so bad. You know, people knocked him, kicked him, didn't believe, were unfaithful. They still are. The unbelief, they just weren't there. They didn't like him. They were saying, who do you think you are? I know who you are. I've known you my whole life. What are you doing back here talking about being such a good guy? Where'd you hear that from? That's not what they taught us all of our life in the synagogue. That's not what we've learned. Who are you? Why do you think you're any better? We hear those things, and that lets us know that, yeah, we're going to be attacked by people. People that even supposed to love us and care about us sometimes will say, who do you think you are? So as Christians, we've got to be stronger. We've got to be faithful. We've got to sometimes say, maybe it's not me that's supposed to be the one to tell this particular group of people. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's one of you that's supposed to go and talk to that person or to share with that person or to listen. Maybe it's you that God has put in that place to allow them to draw closer. Maybe you're the one. You see, these disciples had left everything and followed Jesus. They didn't always make the best decisions, but this particular day, they did what He told them to do. They went out in pairs. They didn't go out alone. They went out with a friend. And they went out with what they had. He only told them to take a staff with them, a stick, to help them walk, to help them move things out of their way, to help them defend themselves as they walked. But people along the way are going to take care of you. You're going to find people that will feed you, that will clothe you, that will give you lodging. You're going to find those folks. And you're going to stay with them a while you tell others about the ministry and the gospel. And when the time is right, you will leave and you will know it's time to depart. But those people who are not listening to you, don't knock them in the head. Don't try to drag them down. What does He say? He says, move on. Shake the dust off of your sandals and move on. Because it's not for you to try to drill it into their head, because they're not going to listen to you. Maybe the next ones that come along, they'll listen to. He says, you've got to listen. We have to keep things in our own minds, what is right. We need to follow the rules once in a while. We need to start reading the rules a little bit more. You know, we will all fail, just as these guys did. But what we have to believe is that by following the call of Jesus, we can do His work in our world. And we don't have to do it alone. We're not out here like the Lone Ranger. It's not us. You know, He even had a sidekick. He had somebody to help Him. We got to do it with others. We've got to let others in on the secret. It's not a secret. We say, hey, come and let me tell you. Let me sit and talk. And maybe by doing that, we can draw someone a little bit closer to serving, to giving, to doing, and being. And when we grow in strength and when we go out, sometimes that's what we're supposed to do. We come to be renewed and refreshed. But what are we supposed to do when we leave this place? We're supposed to go to do what? Serve. I think it says that on the bulletin, doesn't it? Enter to worship and depart to serve. We've also got one that says, come and grow with us. And what that means is come and grow and learn and be. And then what? When you leave here, you can serve. There's more service that needs to be done beyond these walls. We come in here to be renewed, to be have strength, to sing the songs, to read God's Word, to listen, to have great Sunday school lessons, to do things, to come for disciple Bible study, things to renew yourself. During the summertime, to come to vacation Bible school, to come and serve and do and listen and watch these children and these adults and have a fantastic time to grow. But to know that you're not only here doing that, that outside, that something you say or do might be the biggest witness, the best testimony, the best service that you will ever do in helping someone. That's what it's all about. It's not that Jesus figured out, I think, that day that, and he learned a great lesson, and he taught a great lesson by saying, you know, I can't do it all. I had to have these disciples, and yet, they're not going to be able to do it all. I didn't get rid of them. They kind of got rid of me, or they quit along the way. But all along, all of us are his disciples. We all come along on the journey somewhere in time. We all come along, and we all work, and we all follow. And we need to think about that as we serve him not only this day, but all the days to come. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word this day. Thank you for your gift of always giving. Thank you, Lord, for being a great teacher. Even in your failures, you taught us how to outdo. But Lord, I don't even think that we can outdo you. We can't outgive you. We can't outlove you. But Lord, we should be trying each and every day. We should be giving and trying to do more and more to serve you in all that we do. Lord, this day remind us of that as we come to your altar, as we come to your table, as we come and glean from that which you have given us. Be with us now, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is Marching to Zion, 733. Know that our altar is always open. Come as you will, 733.